Well, I'm going to begin my sermon today by saying a dirty word. Change. For many people, change is a dirty word. As a group, we human beings don't do change very well. We get set in our ways. We don't appreciate somebody coming along and trying to change things. Simon and Andrew, James and John, I'm sure, were no exception to the rule. They were fishermen. And not only were they fishermen, but they were doing exactly the same thing in exactly the same way that their fathers and their grandfathers and their great-grandfathers had done before them. Fishing the Sea of Galilee was the only life they had ever known, that their family had ever known for generations. And it was the only life they were interested in knowing. So if you had told them that they would leave all that behind and run off to follow some wandering preacher, they would have laughed in your face. So why did those ordinary fishermen allow their lives to be so dramatically and permanently changed? Well, it had nothing to do with them. It had everything to do with Jesus. Mark tells us that Jesus spoke with such amazing power and authority that those simple fishermen immediately recognized that voice, and they responded to his call without hesitation, because it was Jesus who was calling. When Jesus speaks, people listen and obey, and lives are changed forever. Jesus put it this way in chapter 10 of John's Gospel: "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." It's as simple and mysterious as that. If you have ever heard the voice of the Master calling you, you know what I mean. It's a voice you can't ignore, a calling you can't resist, no matter how hard you may try. When Jesus speaks to you, when he calls you by name and invites you to follow him, your life will never be the same. Whether you respond immediately to Jesus' call and start catching fish for the kingdom, like those fishermen in today's gospel, or whether you resist that call and wind up being swallowed by a fish, as Jonah did in our first story. Either way, Jesus has you, and his purpose will be fulfilled in your life, one way or another, sooner or later. Wherever the good news of God's kingdom is preached, lives are changed. If lives are not being changed, then either the good news of the gospel is somehow not getting through to the people, or else that good news is not really being preached at all. For if God is in charge of your life, and you know it and you embrace it, your life can't help but change. As every aspect of your life is gradually brought into alignment with God's purpose for your life. Martin Luther taught in his 95 Theses that some of us studied here during the season of Lent, that he, 95 Theses that he posted on the door of his church in Wittenberg. When Jesus called people to repent, he meant that the whole life of the believer should be one of repentance. So repentance is not just something that happens in a moment and it's done. Your life is like instantly realigned with God. It doesn't work that way. Bringing your life into alignment with God's rule is a lifelong process. It takes a lifetime of listening and responding to the Master's voice and a willingness to be continually changed. There's a little song that the Shaker community sang about this life of ongoing repentance and transformation. It's called "Tis the Gift to Be Simple." "Tis the gift to be simple, 'tis the gift to be free. 'Tis the gift to come down where you ought to be. And when you find yourself in the place just right, you'll be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we shan't be ashamed. To turn, turn, will be our delight, till by turning, turning, we come down right. So it's that turning and turning, that ongoing process of change in the individual, it's called repentance. And when the whole church is doing it, it's called reformation. The church is always being reformed. Lives are always being transformed. We're on that potter's wheel being shaped by God's hand and being reshaped throughout our lives, even if we live to be 100 years old. So, in other words, the Church of Jesus Christ is in the change business. We are here not only to announce the coming of God's rule in Jesus, but also to help people to align their lives with God's rule. And of course, we can only help others to do that if we ourselves are in that same process of allowing our lives to be realigned. And remembering that the power to do this, the power to realign our lives, doesn't come from us, but comes from the very gospel word itself. Paul says this in Romans chapter 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. The gospel itself contains that transforming power. Unfortunately, we in the church have been seduced into believing what the Bible never taught, that the church exists in order to keep its members happy. As long as the people are happy, we assume God must be happy. If we're happy, why wouldn't God be happy? But I got news for you. Jesus did not die on the cross so that we could be happy. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be holy, that we could become completely and entirely God's own. That when we become completely and entirely God's own, we are happy on a whole new level of happy. But happy is not what it's about. Happy is the wonderful side effect of the real purpose of God, which is to make us holy, to make us His own. And that's a lifelong process of transformation. So we have come here today, as we come every week, to hear Jesus speak to us a word that has the power to transform our lives, to remake us from the inside out in His likeness, so that Jesus then can send us out, as He sent His fishermen out, to continue His life-changing work in the lives of others, healing lives that are broken, opening the eyes of the blind, mending broken hearts, restoring broken dreams. The time has come at last. God's long-awaited kingdom is here, already begun in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Our lives, our church, and our world are under new management. Repent and believe the good news. Amen.